You're listening to Megiddo Radio. Megiddo Radio is a radio ministry of Megiddo Media. For more, visit our website at MegiddoRadio.com. That's MegiddoRadio.com.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome. This is Paul Flynn with Megiddo Radio for the 18th of September, 2017. Thank you all for tuning in. It is a Monday night here, recording a bit later than I would like. Going to try and keep the show as short as possible. Lot to get to tonight, and wanted to leave this until the weekend. I wanted to do this because of the video element. This will eventually be on Megiddo TV. Dealing with Mike Davidson, who is a Christian Legal Center client, and who is on ITV. He gives kind of counseling in a kind of a, it looks like a kind of a Pentecostal church, you know, kind of a, I suppose you could say, kind of a pray the gay away kind of approach to homosexuality. Now, I don't know exactly, obviously, I don't really agree if anybody's listening long enough to this program. I don't really agree with this kind of approach, this kind of this ITV program went and looked at some of the things that this kind of a Pentecostal, it looks like a kind of a Pentecostal church does. However, this is not really what I'm going to be talking about here. If somebody's a homosexual, they need to be born again. They need to repent of their sin. If somebody's a thief or a fornicator or an idolater or anything else, they need to turn from their sin. And in the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. All these other various techniques and all this kind of thing, I worry about it, but I digress. So I don't exactly agree with everything. This is kind of a gay conversion therapy. I've only heard little bits here and there. But really, it's the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And then the person who's born again will have new desires and new affections. Now, I wanted to look at Pierce Morgan's response to Mike Davidson's opinions that homosexuality is unnatural, it is wrong, and respond to it and look at what I would call, there's a lot of different stories I'm going to be covering tonight, Pierce Morgan's anti-Christian bigotry, but also kind of an LGBT-fueled tyranny. When you get, and this is what's happening at the moment, the right for a regime to redefine morality, redefine words as they see fit according to their desires and whims and etc. and so on, then you pretty much have a tyranny straight away. Because you've got a new set of code of ethics, and usually what's attacked then are the Christians. The Christians are the ones who will be persecuted in such a situation, because it is the Christians who will probably be the only ones who will stand against this. There probably might be other groups as well, maybe some Muslims and things like that. But it doesn't seem to matter when a Muslim bakery, for example, refuses to make a cake for a gay wedding. That's been done on video, by the way. People have actually done that. And to show that there's been no prosecutions. You've never heard of one single prosecution, have you, against a Muslim bakery? I've never heard, seen, or anyone. Because you've got the term homophobia, and now you've got the term Islamophobia, an a supposed irrational fear of somebody wants, you know, an ideology that wants you dead. Now that's, you can see the left, and you can see with Islam, they both want a kind of a dictatorship. Now, let's go on to this clip. This is from ITV, and this is from the 5th of September.
I believe that people are not born gay, that they come into homosexual feelings, and that it is something that in some cases is reversible for people who want to make that the trajectory of their lives.
Why should it be reversed, these homosexual urges that these people suddenly experience?
Because it's inconsistent with some people's value systems, and they want to
you
be true
yours.
To themselves.
You mean your value system?
Well, I think we're here today because there's clearly a population group who feel that they are not comfortable with homosexual expression.
Well, it probably
and
doesn't help if they're being called an aberration.
Do you know what we call these people, Dr. Michael? We call them horrible little bigots in the modern world.
Mm-hmm.
Just bigoted people who actually talk complete claptrap and are, in my view, a malevolent and dangerous part of our society. What's the matter with you? How can you think that nobody's born gay and they all get corrupted and they can all be cured? Who are you to say such garbage?
Where's my evidence?
Where's my evidence that you were born straight?
Where's your evidence
that you were born straight?
Homosexuality is something that is innate and unchangeable.
Where is your evidence?
Not even the American Psychological Association.
Prove to me.
Or the Royal College of Psychiatrists.
Stop talking for a moment, right? Stop banging on about wacky, backy scientists.
It's evidence. Where's the evidence?
I'm asking you a question. It's this. Prove to me that you're straight.
Why do we have to stick to a binary label system?
Sorry. I just asked you a simple question.
Prove to me that I'm straight.
Prove to me scientifically that you are straight.
Two children.
Yeah.
I have been with my wife for 35 years.
But you've also had gay sex, right?
Left homosexual practices.
Right, but you've also had gay sex, right?
I have.
How many times?
Notice how the hatred that is against... I remember a preacher preach one time, there's no one more hated than the former homosexual. Somebody who's left that lifestyle behind. Because what it does is it tells them that it's a lie, that it's an absolute lie in the pit of hell, that a person is just gay and you can't change and that's it. It's not just a behavior. But when they see people turning from that lifestyle, marrying somebody, it drives them crazy. Why? More than anybody else. Because it's interesting, back in 2012, I'm going to just play this clip in a bit just to show Piers Morgan's complete hypocrisy. Kirk Cameron was on CNN back in 2012 and he defended him for having pretty much the same views. But the difference was Mike Davidson he's a former homosexual. So that drives him crazy. Anyway, well, let's play to the end of the clip. But just notice how it's just like whenever... I know, you know, there's a desire in the media for Christians to have a voice in the media, and I get that, and I can see it. I would never personally go on Piers Morgan's program. I think he is a bully. He does whatever, he virtue signals, he does whatever he feels like at the time. He does the same thing. He ambushes people when they come on, certain people, especially conservatives and whatnot. Certain people he doesn't for some reason. He can seem quite rational at times, you know, sometimes he's talking about Donald Trump and things like that. And one of the few sane voices over on this side of the Atlantic, which is kind of scary, if you ask me. So, not a Donald Trump fan at all, but kind of, you know, rather than the unhinged non-critiques that really just don't add anything, you just kind of get this whole, oh, he's a racist and all this kind of stuff, which is patently nonsense. But I digress. Don't really want to get into that here. Now, straight away, Mike Davidson goes into, okay, where's your evidence? He's saying, to prove your point, and then he goes off in all this irrational positions. Because he's grandstanding. This is like, you know, a filibuster. But notice, you know, it's changed, right? It has changed from a couple of years ago. The liberal media has changed. If you compare the liberal media today and the liberal media 5 years ago, saying, and if Christian says exactly the same thing, compare now to 5 years ago, it's much more, the pitchforks are out. it's getting worse. And much more of an LGBT fuel. This is an excuse, really, for them to eradicate every single piece of Christianity. The Young Turks, right, who are another horrible liberal so-called media institution, put out a video basically saying, oh, look, the white Christians are disappearing from America. Incredibly racist video, but, you know, the left gets away with it all the time. Why should it stop now? And even, like, one part, Cenk Uygur was kind of going, they were just gloating that their time was up. And you can see the nastiness changing. Let's play more of this clip.
I'm not going to tell you.
Ballpark, 10, 100, 1,000? How many times did you experiment?
But notice how it just gets straight into vulgar details. Vulgar details. They just get into sinful. They just want to drag it down. And if somebody does that to you, just walk away. Walk away. Don't keep going with the conversation. This is, anyway, it's despicable, is what it is.
Enough,
this abomination.
Enough to find that this is something that I wanted to change in my life.
So how do you know that scientifically you're not actually gay?
How do I? Why do I care about that? All I want is to be
you
free.
You seem to care very much about people like Josh. You think he wasn't born gay.
No.
He got corrupted by these urges and now needs to be cured by Saint David.
It's quite clear, right? This quote-unquote gay, you know, conversion therapy, gay conversion therapy, whatever you want to call it, is specifically for people who seek it out. Okay? So, if you want to be all libertarian or whatever you want to call it about this, this is being forced on anybody. Nobody has to go and seek this out. They are people who go and seek this out, and he's providing a service, whatever. So, but he has a problem with that. Why are you so concerned about this? Well, he's saying, well, if, you know, free country. Okay, I don't agree with that view. You know, we should be calling all men everywhere to repent. Piers Morgan, that lady who's beside him, and the homosexual reporter who did this story, going to this church. I don't understand fully the ins and outs of what they do. Some people fasting and then praying and all this kind of stuff. A person needs to hear the gospel. If a person's a homosexual, one of the things you know straight away, even if they claim to be a Christian, they do not have a credible profession of faith. We know this from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 to 11. No homosexual should inherit the kingdom of God. The King James Version renders it, abuses themselves of mankind. Modern rendering would be homosexual. So, they shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That's what you know. That is the most important thing, their eternal soul. Now, of course, we hope that they will abandon this destructive and unnatural lifestyle. But it can't be just that. If somebody's born again, we need to know this, that a person will hate their sin, cleave to Christ, grow in the grace and knowledge of the truth, and repent of that sin. We grow in repentance. They may struggle with sin, various different sins, and people will struggle with various things after they're born again. But they will not continue to love that sin and cherish that sin. And that sin, which they may struggle with or whatever, will not define them. What will define them is the relationship to Jesus Christ.
Saint Michael, who is
cured.
Here to rid the world of the scourge of homosexuality.
You've
to which I say, shut up, you old bigot.
You've You've got it wrong, Piers.
Sorry, but this is ridiculous.
You're not giving people who have a right to find their own pathway in life the freedom and the space to be able to do
that. Has it crossed your bigoted mind that gay people may not want to find your path?
The gay people...
But they may be quite happy being gay. And actually, they don't want to be told they can be cured of this aberration.
And this... I don't know. Like, Piers Morgan does this kind of grandstanding for various different reasons, and we don't really know. He's done this before many, many times, and anybody's well aware of him. I don't think he did so well in CNN, and that's why he eventually got moved away. But I digress. I think he... can't remember whose slot he stepped into. But anyway, in this, he kind of exposes his own bigotry, does he not? An anti-Christian bigotry, which he didn't seem to expose as much back in 2012 when he was interviewing somebody like Kirk Cameron. And obviously, you know, he does this. He kind of just shouts over the top of him. Doesn't actually interview somebody. Doesn't actually let somebody respond. He just speaks over the top of him, just calls him a bigot, which isn't an interview. If you're going to interview somebody, let them answer the question. But I digress. He calls him a bigot for expressing Christian belief that homosexuality is wrong and is unnatural and is against nature and against God. Could he express it better? Of course he could, but, you know, but I digress. For this, what I'm talking about here, I'm just really dealing with that. He's not going after people, not that I know of anyway, going after people who don't want this therapy. This is for people seeking it out.
Because that's deeply offensive.
For some people it is. And they need to have the dignity and the freedom to live life as they want to. But there are other people who want to go in a different direction. And they need to be...
And look, I don't think we should... it's not a biblical position that we should say, oh, people should have the freedom to... You just don't find that in the scriptures. Okay? But the Christians are saying, you know, if somebody wants to be homosexual, let them be that. You know, say that... And again, it's not a biblical position. Romans 13, those in government are to be ministers of God, or to serve God. You know, there's... to promote the good and resist the evil. So how are you supposed to know what good is? It is according to the moral law. So it is incompatible with that. Now, but be that as it may, you still see Christians promoting, and I talked about this in the last program, probably want to listen to that on religious liberty, but they're still promoting that. Okay. While on the other side, you get people in the media, people in the homosexual lobby. Enough is never enough. And what eventually starts happening more and more, they shut down more, they advance further. And it's all about, it's pretty obvious, you see how they've advanced over the last 10, 20 years, that they want to shut out any element of Christianity or any Christian view whatsoever. Any Christian view is going to be seen as bigoted, if you know it already is, and unloving. We're probably at that point, but it's going to get far worse. It's going to get illegal because you stand against homosexuality and the insanity that says you can transition from one sex to another because you believe that you are something else, that you clearly are not. If you stand against that, that puts your job on the line.
Be protected. If we're a truly democratic society, we will protect minority rights.
So, this is a short clip. That's not all of the clip from that. Now, it's interesting. I want to point out, and I'm going to play this clip from the, this is about from Piers Morgan tonight. Piers Morgan was on CNN a couple of years ago, and he, you know, basically got booted out of that and is now on morning television in Britain. A little bit of a climb down, but anyway, he was interviewing Kirk Cameron back in 2012 on CNN, and it was big controversy over it. Kirk Cameron saying homosexuality is unnatural, but does he? This is back in 2012. It just shows his hypocrisy. What does he say? He was interviewed by TMZ. TMZ are, you know, they're obviously horrible. But anyway, here's the interview. This is back in 2012, right after this interview. And here's what he says about Piers Morgan. We'll just play it and comment on it after.
Kirk Cameron thing, he made those comments about homosexuality. Yeah. How did you feel about those comments?
Well, I felt that he was, you know, he was honest to what he believed, and I don't think he was expecting the kind of fury that it's created. I'm not sure I did, really. He's been trending worldwide on Twitter for 25 hours, but it's a very contentious issue. I mean, you've got all these candidates now in America talking about these social issues, and he just went square for it.
Look,
okay, it's in the middle of a Young Turks program, but we might look at what the Young Turks even said back then. He was true to what he believed. Wasn't Mike Davidson true to what he believed in this recent interview? But that wasn't enough. He's a horrible bigot. So notice how... Now, Piers Morgan is an opportunist. He will go whichever way the wind is blowing, or any way he thinks the wind is blowing. It's sometimes badly backfires on him. When he was interviewing Tommy Robinson on Islam, it badly backfired. If you look at the likes to dislikes ratio on that video, where he tried to do the same thing and, you know, claim Islamophobia and all this kind of thing, when Tommy Robinson was just quoting the Quran, showing the violent nature of it, didn't see the entirety of that interview, but anyway. So he does this, and he's been involved in the scandal or whatever. Anything that will sell, he kind of do. But again, it's just interesting the way the wind is blowing, shall we say, in this LGBT fuel tyranny. Now, it's interesting. Listen to what Cenk Uygur and some of the Young Turks. I'm just going to play a short clip from this. This is what they were saying back in 2012.
I generally agree with Piers Morgan. I think it was brave of Kirk Cameron to say. Now, it seems weird to say that a guy who, in our opinion, is being hateful towards a segment of the community is being brave, but he is going to catch a lot of flack for it. Mm-hmm. He is.
It's amazing how he says, no, he says brave. He was being brave. He's like, oh, he's being hateful. A lot nicer than it is now.
He's in the minority at this point in the country. So for him to go on TV and go, yeah, I think homosexuality is unnatural. You know, in the old days, that wouldn't have been brave at all, because that was what the majority thought, and then they would have pretended to be brave. But in this day and age, he is in the minority. You know, some people might view this as, you know, he believes in his religion and what can you do about it? But I don't want people to get mistaken. It's not just that we disagree with his religion, and so that is what it is. No, remember that these people are making a political decision to single out a certain portion of the Bible to emphasize. So they're not, Kirk Cameron and the rest are not taking out the portion of the Bible that says eating shellfish is an abomination.
Now he goes on to ridiculous points, part of the ceremonial law, which has been answered 1,000 times by thousands of different websites around the world. Yeah. Israel, prior to the cross, had to keep to the ceremonial law. But I digress. I mean, people can find out about that if they actually are interested in that. Now, so the reason I play that is hypocrisy, to show the hypocrisy, and also the change in views. It's getting a lot more in the media. It's getting a lot more aggressive. Young Turks were like, oh, well, yeah, it's brave. Now it's like, goodbye, white Christian. And that's in a fairly recent video, which we won't really have time to go through in this program. Another story that just really popped up while I was getting ready to record this program. Christian parents may sue school allowing six-year-old to change gender identity. This is in Breitbart, and from the London department. A Christian family is preparing to sue a school for allowing children to change their gender identity on a daily basis. Saturday. And for implying parents who oppose are bigoted and, quote, transphobic, unquote. It's just insanity. I mean, number one, if your school is doing this, get your kids out of there as soon as possible. This school or these teachers or whatever shouldn't be anywhere near your children. If your teacher can't tell or doesn't know enough that a girl is a girl, a boy is a boy, and that's it. Two genders, there's no transitioning, it's not possible, you've more chance of flying to the moon than you do of transitioning from one sex to another. And if you do not understand that, you're not just, you're dangerous, okay? You're a dangerous influence. Because basic science, it's amazing how the left will always call a right science deniers, but well, when it comes to, well, we'll just redefine the word gender, which is kind of what's been happening now. They know what they're doing, and it's an attack on God. God in the beginning created a male and female, two genders. That's it. There may be anomalies here and there. That's because of the fall. That's man's fault, not God's fault. It's blasphemous to claim otherwise. Now, so I'm going to play this clip. This parent, these parents, these Christian parents, were to sue the school allowing six-year-old to change gender. It's just insanity. It's child abuse. Okay? I'm going to play a little bit. This is from British television where, see where exactly it is. Anyway, if you're watching Megiddo TV, you'll be able to see this. They're interviewing the parents. They don't say the school in question, but again, I don't care where you're living. You're living in the UK, you're living in the United States, you're living in Ireland, anywhere. This is happening almost everywhere. And you have to be careful what they are teaching your children. This is a corrupting influence.
Other pupil sometimes comes to class as a boy and other times as a girl wearing a dress. Nigel and Sally Rowe have withdrawn their son from his Church of England primary, saying the authorities had acted without due regard to the best interests of pupils, had failed to consult other parents, and had not respected their rights to bring up children with biblical values. 2 years previously, they'd taken his 8-year-old brother out of class when a pupil came out as transgender. Let's talk now to Nigel and Sally Rowe, and also with us, Jane Fay, a campaigner for LGBT rights, who transitioned in her 50s. And just to say, we're not naming the primary school deliberately to protect the various children involved. Nigel and Sally Rowe, thank you very much for talking to us. Thanks for coming on the programme. What were your concerns?
Yeah.
Sorry, I've lost the earpiece. Sorry.
I've lost as well.
What were your concerns?
Our concerns were our child came home from school one day saying, "Daddy, I'm confused." I said, "There's a boy in his class which is sometimes coming as a boy and sometimes coming as a girl," and we were concerned about that because it's very confusing. And how do children deal with that? And let's remember that these are primary school children. This is 6 years of age, and we don't.
Isn't it amazing? You have to explain what is right in front of your face, and it's pretty obvious. Oh, the room is on fire. What could be the possibly be the problem? The little boy is coming in, or I can't remember, was it a boy or girl? You know, changing. You know, like a boy coming in, where, oh yeah, it was a male classmate was allowed to wear dresses to class, and one was boy, girl. Talking about a fundamental attack on a fundamental Christian truth that is undeniable from Scripture. There's no, and from basic biology. Okay. Oh, your child is in a school that denies reality. What could possibly go wrong? I thought schools were supposed to be about education and developing the person, not to teach fantasies and falsehoods to your children. Okay? It's child abuse. It's lying. It is absolute lies. And you should never, ever even contemplate, even if this is possible, having your children exposed to this. You find the best school you can possibly. That is your responsibility, parents. Okay? Don't say this is the government's responsibility. This is your responsibility. You find the best school you can find. And if you cannot, you're going to have to homeschool or something like that. What is the best situation? Not, I don't agree with people who say you always have to homeschool. But you better know what they're teaching. And look, we have to insist on a distinctly Christian education, not just, the teacher is Christian. What kind of Christian? What did he teach in the classroom? It doesn't go much further, you know, like in Northern Ireland, I just hear sometimes, well, they're Christian. Well, what exactly do they believe about the gospel? So, it's not just enough in Christian education to say, well, you know what? We don't know, as long as the teachers know the difference between a boy and a girl. That can't be the standard, okay? But it's utter insanity to have your children around that, take them out immediately. But we have to start, thinking about the next generation, how to raise our children. There's nothing wrong with Christian schools and things like that, but it must be a distinctly Christian education. Parents, you're responsible for this. You must do your research. You must find out about the school. And if it may be better, homeschool. Is it a challenge? Of course it is. But what is the best situation? And you are responsible. A teacher is there to help. You're the primary educator, by the way. Now, you might not know about science and things like that. That's where tutors or teachers come in and to help you in those areas to give your child a well-rounded education. But it must be not in the beginning was dirt. It has to be in the beginning was God. It can't be evolution and all this kind of unscientific views, by the way, but also anti-biblical views to be seeped in there that will corrupt their view of the scriptures and the Bible.
We're worried with what effect that can have on the other children and how they have to deal with that. That was what our concern was.
What were you worried about? What were you afraid of in terms of the effect on your son or the other children in the class?
This is what kills me about this whole transgender debate. I was like, I think a couple of years ago this broke out and all this kind of thing. You think, what is there? Now they're pushing this garbage on children. What is there to discuss? I don't care what age you are. If you're born a boy and you think later on you're going to transition, you don't transition. You just mutilate your body. You may put on a dress, but you're still a man. Nothing changes. Every chromosome in your body cries out male. That ain't going to change. It's just denying reality. Like the whole Caitlyn Jenner thing was from last year. I remember conservative commentators were making a comment that surely should annoy feminists that, you know, Caitlyn Jenner's been made out to be what, Woman of the Year or something, it was in some magazine. Yet, it's a guy who's winning Woman of the Year. That should annoy some feminists somewhere. And apparently there's, women can just do whatever they can, and apparently men too. Gets awfully confusing after a while, but it is this Pandora's box that's been opened by do whatever you want. There are no rules in this situation. Everybody is God, and it goes back to the lie in the Garden of Eden that you shall establish your own reality. You'll define what is good and what is evil.
Well, I think it was this, the advice that was given to the school we feel was insufficient. And that, well, firstly, that the child that had gender confusion, shouldn't be put in a public domain like a school to begin with. They need to be given proper care, and
they need to be told, this boy needs to be just told, he's a boy. And the parents need to actually be parents. There's no way a person who's actually taught he is a boy is going to end up with that unless they are neglected or abused. This is abuse. You're derelict in your duty. You're just allowing them to do whatever they want. Are you telling me that it's not abuse to just let a child decide? It is abuse to let a child do whatever they want. It takes utter foolishness and ignorance to think that a child knows anything. They have lots of potential. Yes, children know so much. No, they don't. If children know so much, let them run for president. No, yeah, they don't. So they don't really know as much as an adult. All right? It's stupidity of the highest order. Children have lots of potential. They can learn really, really quickly. But they don't know anything. They know very, very little. And they're very naive. Something they share with a lot of adults today, who have never been asked to grow up in their lives and often grow up to be socialists, but I digress. Now, sometimes I'm like left the gas that this even has to be talked about. I'm not going to be talking about it in the next program. I need a break from this. Like, I literally, there's so many stories coming out, you could just do every single show on this. I'm not going to play much more of this clip. But if a parent whose child has gender confusion, why does he have gender confusion? Because, I don't know, garbage he's listening to on the TV or garbage he's hearing from the parent. But the parent, whatever the case is derelict and neglectful and abusive in their duty. They are not stating a biological fact. No wonder they're confused. You know, could you imagine my little girl's coming up to me and saying, well, you know, you get to decide whether you're male or female. What, you decide? My children can barely, three, right? Can barely decide on what to eat. What if I said, you know, you decide when you go to bed. I think they may never go to bed. Can you imagine the chaos of a home that is run by the children? Oh, yeah, sadly, most homes. And this is why they're useless to society and they're not productive at all. They're lazy, and they want everything kind of given to them. They believe that they deserve it. Again, often why they go to college, and at the end of it, you know, after their professors tell them everything they want to hear, You know, because you just blame the successful people in life, and then, you come out the other end and you become an angry Marxist. I shudder to think where it's going to be in 5 years. I show the difference between 2012 and 2017 in some of these people in the media. Without the Lord's intervention, we need to pray for revival and reformation in the land.
Have the proper assessments and advice from professionals before it just goes in. And for the other children, it's kind of, it's imposing that the boy that they want.
There's no professional advice needed. A boy's a boy and a girl's a girl. I'll give you my, if you want to pay me a lot of money, I'll be your professional. Seriously. What professional? Just state it out. My three-year-olds can tell you what the difference between a boy and a girl is. They even know that. But now we need professional. Why?
Were friends with a boy's name. They've now got to start treating them and speaking, calling them by a girl's name and changing the pronoun from he to she and things like that. And we feel that is quite difficult. They're confused, and what if they get it wrong? Will there be punishment? This is our concern.
Right. Yeah. I mean, presumably you don't know if the 6-year-old who was coming one day dressed as a boy and one day dressed as a girl had the professional assessments. And in terms of the effect on your children and the others in the class, kids at that age are really...
Look, it's irrelevant. If somebody is claiming to be a professional and is having trouble with reality, they don't deserve to be, what is it, a doctor, psychologist, whatever. It's just, I don't even know what to say anymore. It's just like, you know, this whole, and apparently some quote-unquote transgender woman, basically a guy in a dress, but he's had the operation of transition, hormones, etc. Oh, okay. Still a guy. Anyway, so now they then claimed later on in the interview, oh, well, you know, has this really happened and all this, and make it sound like, okay, they're over exaggerating. I think some of the points that the, you know, praise the Lord for the Christian, or the parents, I don't know how Christian they are or anything like that, but the parents for standing up, and it's not easy because you're just going to get all the media hounding on you, and it's not easy at all. What kind of tyranny can we expect from you look at the UK government? You know, I live in Ireland. I live very, very close. I live within 15 minutes. I live 15 minutes from the border with Northern Ireland, which is part of the UK. I think a lot of people don't understand what the UK is. The UK, I think it's pretty obvious for people, obviously, live in these islands, but I think for most, especially Americans listening, they don't really know. They think Ireland's still part of the UK. The Republic of Ireland, which is basically Southern Ireland, except for the northern part, is it, well, independent, you could say independent, from the UK. Well, we're not independent because we're part of the European Union, but that's another issue. The Northern Ireland, Scotland, England, and Wales are the United Kingdom. So that's what the United Kingdom is. John Bercow, Speaker John Bercow, who is the Speaker of the House of Commons, I've seen him talk a few times. You know, the Speaker, basically, he, I suppose you could say, the referee in the House of Commons. The House of Commons is, you know, the Parliament, the UK Parliament, where they speak. Said the following at a, what was it? At the Pink News Parliamentary Reception. Pink News is kind of a homosexual public online publication. And so he made these comments. I'm going to read out now. This is from John Bercow, Speaker of the House of Commons, made the comments in the speech to a Pink News reception marking 50 years since the partial discrimination of homosexuality, decriminalization of homosexuality in England and Wales. Now, here's what he says. I still feel we'll only have proper equal marriage when you can bleep well get married in a church if you want to do so, without having to fight the church for the equality that should be your right. Now, they all claim, you know, and all these things, well, it's not going to change anything in the church. The church can still refuse to do it. Yeah, yeah, it starts off changing the state. Now, that's bad enough. The state is to obey God. Okay, you're not being faithful to God by saying the state can do whatever they want. That's not true. But it never stops. It never stops there. That should never be our main argument, by the way, but it never, ever stops there. So Britain legalized same-sex marriage, or so-called same-sex marriage, back in 2013. He also says, we don't want to behave like it's all over. Everything's been done and nothing remains, because that isn't true. He also said that the consequences of the focus on my... Oh, no, sorry. This is another... that's another issue. Now, what he says, it's not over. He says there won't be full equality, basically, until the force of churches. Are you noticing something? You know, first is Christian bakeries. Now, next is going to be Christian churches that won't be able to say no to homosexual marriage. They'll be seen as bigoted, and they'll be making laws against that. You know, can we think of what's the general position of this? Are they talking about mosques here? Are they? No? No, I don't see any mention of mosques. It's all about making biblical Christianity, you know, biblical Christianity, not the apostates who couldn't care less about what the Bible says, but biblical Christianity, those who will actually stand on what the Bible says, making that illegal in the United States, in the UK, Ireland too. We have a prime minister here, name that's used here is Taoiseach, which is just another title for prime minister. Taoiseach is kind of an Irish word. The Taoiseach here, Leo Varadkar, is actually an open homosexual. That's how far this has kind of gone. But you see, John Bercow, Speaker of the House, now saying, you don't have equality, right? Until it's in the churches. Now, if you go back to the old, what they claimed years ago, what they said, oh, it's not about what's going to, the churches can do whatever they want, and it never stops there. In Australia, some people have been messaging me about this, and I've heard bits of this kind of a postal vote that they're going to do in Australia, apparently. In Australia, you can see the love and toleration that there is towards Christians. Not exactly. Breitbart reports, Aussie rugby star sparks backlash for opposition to gay marriage. Now, this is a rugby player, Israel Folau, I think that's how you pronounce his name. He's apparently a devout Christian. I think he's in an Assemblies of God church. Anyway, but whatever the case is, he stated in a tweet, I love and respect all people for who they are and their opinions, but personally, I will not support gay marriage. Nothing earth-shattering there. A Christian who doesn't believe that marriage can be redefined. Should this be so shocking? But there was a massive backlash on Twitter. Now, it seems to be the way the world's going. I don't generally look at you know, people's tweets and this person's that, but it seems to be the way the world's going. It's everything seems to be more and more people's comments focused more and more towards Twitter. I know I'm probably a bit behind things, I know, because this has been happening for years, but I hate it. But anyway, here we go. One person tweeted back, "Call, dude, you're a great athlete, but that's all, mate." Another person says, "Mate, if you want a group of people to have less rights than you, you neither love nor respect them. At least be honest about your belief." "I respect the belief, but why would you feel the need to actively state it? Just keep it to yourself." And et cetera and so on. Yeah, be a Christian, but keep it to yourself. Don't tell anybody. Keep it. Don't say it to anybody. "Oh, you believe that? You're a horrible, horrible bigot. Doesn't matter what you say. You don't respect anybody." So the pressure is just, you know, redefine marriage, redefine genders, redefine anything the Bible is explicitly clear on. Again, are you noticing a pattern with what's being attacked here? I pray to God that you are. And it's getting more and more aggressive. The key is here not about how great our arguments. Look, it's people know. People know. They just repress the truth and the righteousness. They withhold it. Romans 1 states that. The righteous standard, we are created in God's image, but we are fallen race. We suppress that truth because we hate it. Those who have not been born again hate it. Before I was saved back in March of 2009, I hated it. I was pro years before I was saved, right? The Lord changed my heart and gave me a new nature. I was pro transgender. I had friends who were homosexual, no problem with them whatsoever. It's a work away. I didn't really bother me one way or the other. It really didn't. My lifestyle was equally as immoral than many of them. I am a wretched, horrible sinner, and I deserve the wrath of God. However, the Lord showed mercy upon me, and enabled me to turn from my sin and trust in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But the world, we're at a point in history. You need to be in the scriptures. You need to be on your knees. Don't expect it to be easy. Now, let's not be paranoid either, that everybody's out to get you. There's a balance. When there's opportunity, share the gospel. Do so lovingly. The confused transgender person and homosexual, etc. and so on. Look, I have some people in my classes who are homosexuals. And just as any other sinner, I don't think it's just as any other sin. I think it's a particularly egregious sin. But we're all sinners. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So I have to show equal respect for all of them. But also, where possible, have to show love towards that person and talk about God's redeeming grace. See, it all comes back to the gospel. Is there any other way? Okay, the world has gone collectively insane. Why? Is it because they've gone intellectually more stupid? In a sense, they have, but that's not the base reason. It's a hardening of the heart because of the hatred towards God's word. Not everybody who hates God supports this agenda, by the way. But anybody outside of Jesus Christ hates Christ. Whether you're conservative, liberal, whatever position you take on this issue, if you are outside of Christ, you are under a tyranny. You're under a tyranny of your own desires. You're under a tyranny of your own heart. You're in bondage. You're a slave to sin. people talk today, they're against slavery. How about that slavery? You're a willing captive of the devil. And unless you are born again, unless you trust in him, you belong to him. You're of your father, the devil. If you truly belong to Christ, you will obey him and keep his commandments because you will have new affections, new desires. You won't want to follow the world. Not that you will not never sin, you will. But it'd be miserable for you. This is what's coming. Unless the Lord intervenes, this is what we need to pray for, that the Lord would intervene. We can see in the media that Young Turks, Piers Morgan in the United Kingdom, and if people hear other clips, I'm going to wrap up now in a second, people hear other clips, similar ones, send them on at MegiddoFilms@gmail.com, but I think probably won't be covering this issue again for a while. This issue is about the hatred of the gospel. That's what it's about. We can talk about all the scientific... No, they're not interested. The left is not interested. The LGBT group, their claims have been debunked. I've dealt with many of their claims. Not all of them, but many of their claims. You know, the Born This Way myth and all this kind of other stuff on the program before. They're not interested. They're not interested in the scientific... They don't care about that. They just care about what they believe. They care about what their lusts, and that's it. This is about lust. It's not about respect. It's about lust. And the reason why most people support this is because they say, well, see these people? I want my sin. Let them have their sin. How dare God tell me not that I can't have this. Just like a child who's stubborn, will not listen. That's the way people are. The heart is hardened to the truth. Ever more. And the fall affects the intellect to the point where we now deny basic reality. You can redefine any word now. If you take away male and female role or genders and say, oh, well, that can be changed and all this kind of stuff and it's fluid and there's all these types of genders, it's not just two. What else can you redefine? Anything. Seriously. They haven't redefined marriage and gender, but in the world's eyes, in some of these dictionaries, they have. And if you can redefine such basic, fundamental words like that, what else can you do? And when you have such a thing, you're under a tyranny. You're under a tyranny of whoever has the control of the definitions of words. You can make people be whatever. You can make that group, you can make your enemies, redefine it to be violent, horrible, fascist Nazis. What did they do? They merely spoke a different opinion to you, and then your words are microaggressions and all that. You might think that might sound crazy. This happens on college campuses across the United States. This happens at places like Berkeley. It was exposed by people like Ben Shapiro when he was there recently. This is what we're dealing with. And it's not just a purely intellectual issue. The fall does affect the intellect. Our hardness of heart does affect our intellect. But it's primarily a sin issue. There's a lot of political campaigns we can support and all this kind of thing. And I'm not saying we have to abandon them and all this, but it has to be our main focus. It needs to be on our knees, sharing the truth, the gospel. It all goes back to the gospel. It's been Paul Flynn. May God bless you all.